And so, praise God. So, 1 Kings chapter 19. So, I'm going to set this scripture up and just dive in and tell you what's going on here in 1 Kings 19. In the previous chapter, if you've read this story before, in chapter 18, the star of the story here today is Elijah. And Elijah in chapter 18 has just had the best day of his life. He's had the most victorious day he's ever had. He's a mighty, powerful prophet of God. He was, in chapter 18, he was on Mount Carmel, and he defeated 400 prophets of Baal. He called down fire from heaven and consumed their altars before them, basically proving, you guys are false, you guys are a sham. Go back under your rock where you came from. I serve the living, powerful God. So, yay, it's a great day for him. Also, right after that, he successfully prophesies that rain is going to return back to the land because it was a terrible drought. It was a terrible, terrible season in the kingdom. And so he prophesies rain's coming. So I want you to see this morning that Elijah's on a roll. It's one miracle after another. This guy performs miracles after miracles after miracles. The power of God is evident on his life. He's winning favor with the people of the land. They're turning to God. I mean, he is operating under the anointing of the Lord. But everybody's not thrilled with Elijah in the land, because you might have heard this name, Jezebel. Queen Jezebel hated Elijah because Elijah was a man of God. Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah bucked the system, bucked the political era of the day, and spoke truth to him. So Elijah hated this guy, and she vowed, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. All right, so that's where the story picks up. And we're going to look at 1 Kings 19. We're going to look at verse 3. So this is Elijah. It says, and when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. I've done pretty good with this jacket on this morning. It's coming off, okay? It is official. You did see me in a suit, right? Okay, mark it down. Thank God it's over. Okay, I'm free now. Free. All right. Verse 4, okay. But he himself went a day, this is Elijah, he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed, now look at this, he prayed that he might die, and he said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. So you can see the differences between the two chapters. You can you see how this story unfolds. In chapter 8, one day, one moment, Elijah's fearless. He's defeating 400 prophets of God. He's fearless. This guy is strong in the power of the Lord. The next day, he's fearful. He's running from his life. He's wiped out 400 false prophets one day. The next day, he's running from a woman. He's running. He's one day is victory. The next is defeat. One day, it's power. The next day, we see him seated under a tree. He's suicidal. He's suicidal. God, go ahead, take me out. I've had enough. I'm done. And what a story. This is the story. This is bipolar. This is the story of two worlds, of two days. So an angel comes to him and touches him, ministers to him, gives him some food, gives him a little strength in his body. And so what does Elijah do next? Does Elijah run back to face Jezebel? Does Elijah all of a sudden get anointed and he's, I'm ready. I'm ready for some more miracles. Well, let's see what it says. Scroll down to verse 8. So he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days, 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And it says, and there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So instead of putting back on his mantle, his anointing, his prophetic voice, and facing the queen and the king and going back to do the Lord's work, what does he do? He runs away. 40 days, he runs away. He heads to this mountain. He finds a cave. He goes in that cave. He hunkers down and is hiding out. I've got my cave. What's happening here is obviously the enemy has planted thoughts in his mind. The enemy has planted thoughts in his mind, and we can see how he's become despondent. He's lost confidence in the power of God. So he runs to this cave. He runs to this isolated cave to seek shelter. He's despondent. He's in despair. He's defeated. And today, my message that I'm preaching is come out of the cave. Come out of the cave. Because the same is true for us so often. We see a depiction of a physical cave, but I'm talking about something different than just a physical cave. I got 3 points. My first point is fear will drive you to a cave. Fear will drive you to a cave. Fear was what drove Elijah. The Bible says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit. Fear drove Elijah to the cave. And that happens to us. It's the same with us. Like I said, I'm not talking about a physical cave. A physical space. Guys, I'm not even talking about your little man cave that you've got. Either in the garage or in your little 10 by 10 with your stinky lazy boy and your dirty dishes and your big screen, the big screen TV and 24-hour news or sports. And I'm not even talking about your man cave. Because we know how you love to run away to your man cave. Oh no, Hallmark Channel is on. I'm running away to my man cave. Ah, these dumb girly reality shows. I gotta get away. But you know, guys, I think it is okay that we can endure a Hallmark movie occasionally for Our Lady. Don't you think we can endure for other? Not what? You know, I got to say, if you're gonna watch dumb movies over and over again, the Hallmark Channel, at least it's clean, they're clean movies, right? At least they're not like all the junk, all the other stuff. So anyway, I don't know how we got on that. I guess it's because I'm sick of Hallmark Channel. I guess that's probably right. All right, so I'm not talking about your man cave. I'm preaching about how fear can drive us to this place of isolation and despondency, this place of darkness in our soul. This place that where it feels like our world's caving in. What is fear? Fear is faith in the enemy. Fear, F-E-A-R, fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear paralyzes us from our purpose. Fear blurs our reality that God is always greater and mightier than whatever we're facing. Did you catch that? See, fear blurs the vision. The truth is, God is great. God is greater. God is the greatest. But fear blocks our view of the greatness of God. And the devil loves it when he can chase us to our cave. When we become fearful, when we run to that place of darkness, discouragement, despair, and defeat. But church, we're not made to live in caves. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We're not cave dwellers. We're not Neanderthals. We're made for connection. For connection, connecting with the body of Christ. We're made for fellowship. We're made for each other. That's why I think it's important to have a church body, a church family, to just, so, you know, so, sometimes it's just good to just be around people. You don't even have to talk theology, but just being around good, positive, spirit-filled people, man, it just makes you feel better, doesn't it? Just being in the presence of godly people. We're made for light. We're not made for darkness. We're made for victory, not defeat. But my question to you this Easter morning is, has fear driven you to a cave? Are you in a cave this morning? Maybe you're in a cave of despondency, a cave of depression. It's a popular cave to run to. It's so easy when we get in that depressive state, our natural tendency is to isolate ourselves, to block people out, to get to ourselves. We block out people who love us, people who care for us. We block out people who want to come by our side and support us. It's so easy to run to the cave of depression. Maybe you're running away from God. Maybe you're not just isolating yourself from other believers. Maybe you're isolating yourself from a loving Heavenly Father. You're isolating yourself from a church family. Maybe you're dwelling in a cave, here's a good one, of unforgiveness. Maybe someone has done you so dirty, has abused you and mistreated you, that you just can't forgive. You just can't let go, the cave of unforgiveness. Maybe you're in a cave of apathy. Of apathy. You sense that God is calling you to do something that requires taking a step of faith. You sense that God's calling you to stretch out of your comfort zone, but you've run to the cave of apathy. You've run to the cave of comfort. And you're fearful that if you step out of the cave, you're going to fall. You're going to fail. Have you ever been to the cave of apathy? Maybe God's planted a dream in your heart. Maybe God has given you the desire to start a business, to do something new, to start a ministry at the church. But you're in this cave of apathy. Maybe you're putting your best foot forward. Whatever cave you're in, you're putting your best foot forward. You're putting on a good front. People don't even know you're in a cave. Your family don't know you're in a cave. Your kids, your spouse don't even know that you're in a cave because you're a good cave dweller. I know what it's like to be in a cave while hiding the fact from you, from others around me, that I'm in a cave. I know what it's like to try to look like everything's got everything together, everything's going good, while deep inside I'm in that cave, I'm in that dark place of the soul. Here's what this story about Elijah, in a sick way, it encourages me. And here's how this encourages me. Because here's one of the greatest prophets of the Bible. And if one of the greatest prophets of the Bible found himself in the cave, it kind of makes me feel good about myself. That maybe if I found myself in a cave, maybe I don't have to feel condemned. Maybe I don't have to feel like a loser and a failure. I'm telling you, if this guy can be in a cave, and if we found ourselves in a cave this morning, it's somewhat encouraging to me that I'm in pretty good company with another man who found himself in a cave. Here's another observation that I found interesting about this story. It's that the cave came after the greatest victory of Elijah's life. The worst day of his life came after the greatest day of his life. This is a tale of two cities right here. Same city, metaphor. It's like the tale, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Chapter 18 is victory. It's glory days. Chapter 19, he's at the bottom. He's at the end of his rope. But the victory, after the victory, came the cave. And this lets me know that I can't take the victory days for granted. I've got to keep my mind guarded. I've got to keep my heart guarded. And I got to stay on guard after the great days. After the victory. See, what happens is when we have a victory day, it's easy to put the guard down, isn't it? God's blessed me with a good job. God's blessed me with good health. You know what? Let's take off from church and let's just go hang out. Let's go to the beach today. I need God after the victory. I gotta stay on guard. Because the devil roars around like a roaring lion. And the devil ain't going to take his defeat lying down. Somebody say amen about that. Yeah. Have you ever had the lion roar out? I'm not talking about the lion of Judah. But have you ever had the devil come to you after a victory day?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I talk to pastors, and Mondays so often are cave days for pastors. I've had a lot of conversations with my father about the day after Sunday and the great victory day. Man, the devil that was defeated, you know, and man, it's a great victory for people, and they come in, lives are changed, but it's amazing how the devil fights us on Mondays. Oh my goodness. A lot of times, I mean, they'll plant those thoughts. Man, you are unqualified to do this. Why are you doing this? What are you even up there, man? You're worrying and stressing about this. You call yourself a faith preacher and blah blah blah. But we got to stay on guard after the victory days. So number one, fear will drive you to a cave. There are two main dangers from staying in a cave. Now I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 10. This is part 2. Joshua chapter 10. Still keeping along the theme of the cave. Fear drives you to the cave. Let me set up while you're turning. If you don't have it, it's going to be up on the screen, of course. But in Joshua 10, Joshua is chasing down five enemies. Joshua is chasing down five enemies. Enemy kings. And then it says here, and here's what happens. Verse 16 says, but these five kings, they fled from Joshua. They hid themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave of Makkedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. So you see what's happening. The kings are running from Joshua. And in the same way that Elijah found a cave and went and hid in, these five kings, they find a cave, hid in the cave. But Joshua, he tells his troops, he says, they're in that cave right there. You see that big rock? Roll the stone in front of the cave and we'll block them in. They can't get out. And the picture here is that the cave that these five kings found became their hiding place. But not only did it become their hiding place, but the cave became their prison. The cave became their prison. And the point is that if you stay in your cave, if you refuse to come out of the cave, what will happen is the enemy will come to your cave. He'll roll a stone over your cave. He'll lock you in. And that cave that you think you're just hiding from and seeking shelter and just getting to yourself to recoup and recover, what'll happen is that cave will become your prison. That's number two. Your cave will become a prison. We've all been hurt. We've all been offended. We've all faced rejection, fear, worry. We've all experienced hard times. We've all felt like running away. But if we stay hurt, and if we stay offended, If we stay wallowing in our pity and our sorrow, what'll happen is before long, the enemy will lock us in the cave. We'll develop a stronghold in our life, and we won't even be able to get out of the cave, no matter how hard we try. That's the tragedy of staying in a cave. They locked the kings in, and the cave became their prison. And if that doesn't make you feel good, I even got worse news for you on this Easter morning, because it actually gets worse. Aren't you glad you came today? Trust me, you'll hear some good news. You're going to hear some good news in a second. But you know that the good news isn't really good news until we hear how bad the bad news is. That's what makes the good news the good news. But here it is. It gets worse. Because here's what happens in this story in Joshua 10. Joshua, he locks him in the kings in the cave. He goes out. He defeats the enemies. He comes back to the cave. He says, roll the stone from the cave. Pull these kings out. I'm going to kill them. He kills the kings, and he hangs the kings in the trees. Look at verse 27. This is what happens next. Y'all didn't know this story was in the Bible, did you? This is a fun story. But look at this. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded. And look, they took the kings down from the trees. They cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and they laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remains until this day. Fear drove them to the cave. The cave became the prison. But ultimately, and this is the worst part, the cave ultimately ended up becoming their grave. Fear to the cave. Cave to the prison. Prison to the grave. And that's my final point this morning. If you stay in your cave long enough, it won't just become your prison, but it will become your grave. Your grave. If we don't let go of what happened, if we don't let go of our abuses and our hurts, if we harbor bitterness and unforgiveness, the cave will become a grave. Your fear, your worries, your hurts, they won't just imprison you. They'll destroy you if you stay in the cave. You see, that cave, and I'm not necessarily talking about you'll literally die, but what I'm talking about when I speak about the cave becoming a grave, I'm talking about if you stay in that grave long enough, that cave will become a grave to God's purposes and destiny over your life. That cave will become a grave to your relationships. The cave will become a grave to your dreams. The cave will become a grave to your joy and peace. Hope becomes lost. Destiny becomes destroyed. And yes, Families fall apart when you run to the cave, stay in the cave, and refuse to come out of the cave. And the cave becomes a grave. And it's tragic to see people living their whole lives in caves. That's the worst tragedy as a pastor. Now look, I've been to the cave, but I came out of the cave. But I'm talking about it's tragic to preach the word and preach good news to people week in and week out and seeing people run to the caves and they won't come out of the caves. It's tragic. Yeah. I want you to come out. Because good news that I'm going to give you now is that caves release their occupants when Jesus really shows up. Cave lets go of the cave dwellers when Jesus comes on the scene. You might have heard the story in John 11 with Lazarus. Lazarus, one of Jesus' best friends, he dies. They take his body. They wrap him in grave clothes. They find a cave for Lazarus. And they put him in the cave. And just like Joshua did to the kings, the attendants, they rolled the stone over the cave of Lazarus. Jesus comes onto the scene and in John 11, 25, he says, hey, don't worry. I'm the resurrection and the life. And he comes to the cave of Lazarus and he says, roll the stone away. He calls into the cave. He says, Lazarus, come forth. So Lazarus had no choice but to get up. He walks out like a mummy. I mean, what is it? He's waddling out. Jesus says, loose him from his grave clothes. Let him go. And see, that's the story of Easter. And that's what I'm here to proclaim is that if you're in a cave today, Jesus is here right now. He's standing at your cave. He said, come out of the cave. Be loosed and let go. Go. He's at your cave. He's at your cave. The resurrection and the life is standing at your darkest place, the most isolated, worst, despondent place. He's there. I'm thankful that Jesus loves cave dwellers. I'm bold, and I can be bold. And I can tell you by the authority of the Word of God that today you're coming out of the cave. And I can declare over your life as a man of God who is under the authority of the Word of God that you can come out whatever cave you're in today. It's your choice whether you stay or whether you come out. Whatever cave you're in. Ray, you're bold. Ray, that's exercising a lot of authority right there. Why are you just able to declare and just command me to come out of the grave? Well, here's why. Because since Jesus came out of his cave, you can come out of your cave. Amen. Jesus came forth from his cave. When Jesus died, what did they do? Same cycle. They wrapped him in grave clothes. They placed him in a cave. They rolled the stone over the cave. Just like Joshua commanded the cave of the kings. Just like the attendants rolled the stone over the cave of Lazarus. Jesus is in the cave. Devil got his, this was his prime target right here. Devil's been after Jesus since pride came up in Satan's heart. Devil's after Jesus and Satan's like, I got him, man. He's happy. He's rejoicing. Jesus is in the cave. I trapped him in the cave. But 3 days later, the cave had to release the body of Jesus. The cave had to release the life of God because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And Jesus came forth and he cleared the way so that all of us who are in caves but trust in him can also come out of our cave. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses. Look at this. This is such an astounding verse. He made us alive together. Together. Together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together. Together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, because Jesus came out of his grave, we've been made alive, we've been set free, and there's no reason why we can't come out of ours. He made us alive in Christ. He cleared the way. He cleared the way for you. He's the one who rolled the stone away. You don't have to roll your own stone away. He cleared the way. He made the way. The Bible says in Colossians, we've been studying this on Wednesday night, that he was the firstborn among the dead, meaning he's the one who first went out of the dead and came out of the grave but never died again. So all we've got to do is just follow the tracks of Jesus. We don't have to claw our way out of the cave. We don't have to dig our way out of the cave. We don't have to put ourselves back together. We don't have to try to clean our lives up. All we've got to do is just follow the path that Jesus has already cleared for us. That's why the Bible says, by grace, we're saved. You know, and you know, it actually gets even better because the reality is we're so low. And we're so feeble, and we're just such a mess that the fact of the matter is Jesus, he understands this. And the good news is he really doesn't even expect us to walk out of the cave on our own, because all we got to do is just reach our hands up and Jesus comes into the cave after us. He came in after us. And all we've got to do is just say, declare, I'm coming out of the cave. Because Jesus came out for me, I'm coming out of my cave today. By grace, I'm reaching my hand to Jesus. Whatever cave you're in, you can choose to come out of your cave of depression and despondency, because you can choose to receive the joy of the Lord. I choose joy today. I'm putting off these grave clothes of depression and despondency. I'm walking out of the cave of unforgiveness that's kept me bound, and because I choose to forgive, I choose to let go. And that's my message to you this Easter morning. I don't know how you walked in today. I don't know what cave you came in under, but you can walk out today liberated, free, victorious through the power of the name of Jesus. How many of you are you going to walk out of your cave today? Are you going to walk out of? Can we thank Jesus for coming out of his cave so that you can come out of yours? You're coming out. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads? Please, nobody looking around. Because I want to give you the opportunity now, right where you're seated, to receive the grace of the Lord, to receive Jesus as your life, your salvation, your freedom, your deliverance. I don't know what background you are. I don't know what you've been taught. You might have been in church. You might have strayed away. You might be faithful to church every single week. You might be a member of a community. Whatever. The fact of the matter is, it's by grace you're saved. We preach the full unadulterated gospel of Jesus, which says there's no way that we can get to the Father except through Jesus. We can't earn our way. We can't work our way. We can only receive the goodness of the Lord. And while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, you say, Ray, this Easter morning, I want to give my life to Jesus, and I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And I want to receive Him as my Lord and my Savior. Right where you're seated, I just want to pray for you. It takes courage, but that's okay. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. Your eternal soul is the most important thing right now. Where will you be if the Lord returns? Where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? Heaven, hell. We choose. Ray, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus as Savior. Slip up your hand right now. I want to receive Jesus. Yes, I want to receive Jesus as Savior. Yes. Yes, I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. As my Savior. I want to lead you in a prayer. Yes, 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 all over the place. Here's what we're going to do, church. We're a family. We're a family. The Bible says if you confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. I'm believing today is going to be the day of a new life in Jesus Christ. And I want to ask everybody in here, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer of salvation. You mean this from the bottom of your heart. Maybe you know Jesus, but maybe you've strayed from Him. Maybe you've gotten away from Him, and this is your prayer of dedication. So would everyone just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. Jesus, I believe you shed your blood for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I make you the Lord of my life. I want to follow you and say this. Say, Lord, now fill me with your Spirit. I want to follow you and just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, because it's literally that simple. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord. It's not a long list of catechism. It's not a long list. It's believing, receiving, confessing with your mouth. And while we're getting ready to close, I want to just pray for others in here, the Christians, that, and we can come into agreement this morning. The Bible says where two or more agree is touching anything, it shall be done. And I want to, any Christians in here, or whatever, whether this is you just received Jesus, but anybody in here is in a cave right now. You're in a cave. Whatever cave I mentioned, whatever it is, you know what your cave is. But you're in a cave, and you want prayer to be delivered from the cave. From the cave. I'm in a cave this morning. I want to come out in Jesus' name. Anybody, slip up your hand. I'm in a cave. Yeah. I need to come out of this cave. I need to come out to life. I need to come out to victory. I need to be loosed. I need to be freed and let go all over the place with your hands lifted. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Jesus, that right where we are at the, you meet us at the end of our rope. You meet us at our lowest place. You meet us at our weakest point, and you're standing there declaring, come forth to every single person. I declare and decree over you, come forth through the word, the power of the Lord. Come forth from the cave in the name of Jesus Christ. Be loosed, be let go in Jesus' name. Father, you know all the situations. You know all the issues. You know what's happening at home. You know what's happening in their family. You know what's happening in their body. There might be sickness, disease. You know what's happening down in their soul. Down in their soul, that dark place. But Father, every single person under the sound of my voice and even through the internet and wherever, Father, I pray that this would be their coming out party today. Coming out of the cave. I declare that in Jesus' name. And we only are able to say this because our hope is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We trust that Jesus came out for us. And so by faith, we just confess that we are alive in Christ. We confess that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We confess that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing because of our association and being in Christ Jesus. So we call it done. Done. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's seal it with a hand clap of praise. Yes, yes. You seal it. It's done.